stayed up late again watching TV with my best friend, laughing at the late night show. I don't know what's wrong with me, 'cause I know I need my rest, but if I don't stay up all night, sleep all day, I ain't at my best.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. Text line, time permitting, 251-343-0106. I will get to your text or whatever is outstanding there on the text line. I didn't do this in the last segment. We're going to try to get Chief Bryan on tomorrow. I don't know if we can do that or not, but we'll definitely have Joey Clark from News Talk 93.1's News and Views in the afternoon from Montgomery on tomorrow. So please tune in for that. Joining us now, it's our Tuesday regular. Always a pleasure to bring on my friend, Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall. Chairman, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to be on the show.
Hey, thanks for hopping on. We always appreciate your time. You know the question's coming. Where are you on your political future, you think?
You know, that's, I had a two week break with you out of town. I've got past the summer meeting for the Republican Party, and I've really been thinking about this. Was down at the PCA conference, listening to, some of the thoughts and things that are facing the state of Alabama next few years. And I'll tell you, I really think Alabama has an opportunity to lead the nation when it comes to conservative policy, to really fight for the citizens' freedoms, lower taxes, several things that I think we can be a model, defending children from woke policies. There's just so many things that I think now is the time for states to really stand up and fight. And I think Senator Tupperville is going to lead that charge in the governor's office. And so I don't know. I still am going back and forth, but I my main priority is always that I stand for the values and the people of Alabama, and wherever I can be most effective in what our founding fathers would have called the animated contest for liberty, really, really taking the stand and not being afraid to be a bold conservative in an age where we desperately need people willing to stand up and fight for people and return to the vision of our founding fathers.
Well, tell me something. My invitation to the BCA conference always gets lost in the mail or something, but you were there, and I am curious, like, how much is, rank and file conservatives who listen to this show, what do you make of the agenda, what they prioritize as policy for the state? What were your takeaways? What do we need to know about that meeting?
Well, look, I think we have a situation, and this is not BCA selective, right? This is organizations across the board, whether it's trade associations, business associations like the BCA, or even the teachers union. I encourage them to take a look at their membership when they're thinking about what policies they support. Because, look, the vast majority of business owners in the state of Alabama are strong Republicans. They want lower taxes. They want fiscal responsibility. They want less regulations. And it's the same thing I take with AEA, with the teachers union. Most local teachers are Republicans. They want less red tape in their classrooms. They want less government overreach. They want more involvement from the parents. They want less bureaucracy breathing down their neck. And I think this is what every organization out there needs to realize. Get back to the base. Get back to the basics. Get back to the closer you get to the bottom level, the better representation you will have. And we saw this. The people of America are tired. We saw this in the elections last November. They know our incomplete system, whether it's government, whether it's associations, whether it's bureaucrats, they're out of touch with the people. And so I want to see, I think BCA needs to get back, or not necessarily get back, but BCA should be the organization that's fighting for less regulation, less taxes for their members.
Well, and, some of us kind of look at BCA, and it's not the BCA of the Canary days in 2010, where it really did, like, it really was a force. But what do you say to guys who are a little skeptical of, there's a sort of a corporatist undertone there that's not necessarily, mm-hmm. Pure and white as the driven snow?
Yeah. Well, look, I think that's what I was just talking about, where you know, over time, we see organizations maybe, you know, shifting, different things. And I think it's the important thing that they remember, and they get back. And look, I think BCA has actually headed a little bit more in this direction over the last couple of years. I know that's their attempt. They knew they were losing a little bit of their market share. You saw that with the appointment or hiring of Clay Schofield, where they're trying to regain some of that influence they had, because you have to have influence in order to be effective. And I think at the end of the day, that's where BCA is at right now. Like, they are the premier business organization in the state of Alabama. They should be lockstep with the supermajority Republican House and Senate and with the Republican Party. Like, we should be sharing the same goals, the same views, which, like I said, is limited government, free markets, and letting business unleash a better economy for the people of Alabama.
I want to shift gears, and I'm kind of giddy to talk about this, and I think this is an overdue thing in this state or in this country. But the move on redistricting and the moves to where you have, because you certainly have this in blue states, where the blue state legislatures have totally shut out Republicans. And the Trump administration points to Massachusetts. I think Illinois is a good example. California is getting there. Where they draw the lines based on the politics that reign in the state when it's census time, and it matters. It really does. So, like, you now are starting to see Republicans say, like, why are we playing by two different rule books here? And the it's unfolding in Texas, and now there's a Supreme Court case that's pending. But here in Alabama, I think I was talking to one of my colleagues at Breitbart, Bradley Jay, about this. I think Democrats got greedy. I think Eric Holder got greedy trying to pick up more Democrat seats through the judiciary. And ultimately, it's going to be sort of like abortion. They got greedy there that, and then what comes of it is a totally new precedent. But how are you these days on the prospects of, like, Alabama really changing and us having seven Republican Congress members in Washington representing the state?
Well, look, it's funny you bring this up. I literally was just talking to a liberal member of the press who worked for the AP about this very subject. It was after our summer meeting for the party and the district lines were talked about. I highlighted some of the things you just said. Look, you have states like California who are intentionally drawing their lines congressional lines based on politics, forcing their constituencies to be represented by Democrats, even if it wouldn't be natural if you drew the lines. So, you know, after the meeting, I talked about how Democrats use minorities as a tool to get more Democrat districts. It's not about representation for minority communities. This is about control. And this is what Democrats do. They divide us. They split us into groups. In this case, racial group, and they divide and they conquer and they divide us. And the Republican Party principles have always said, we don't look at people based on the color of their skin, whether that's in the 1860s, whether that's with the Civil War, whether that's the 1960s with the Civil Rights Movement, or today with the drawing of congressional lines. We've been the consistent party. We've been the ones who are saying, look, no, when you start doing that, that is a type of racism. Anytime you do. And if you draw lines based on race, that is racism. And so I think he hit the nail on the head. And what he came back with, this liberal member of the press, what he came back with was, well, but black voters are Democrat. And so you're taking away their chance to be represented by a Democrat. And I said, you just admitted the truth, which is, this is not about race. This is about political power. And it's about the Democrat Party. And Alabama deserves to be treated fairly. We deserve the same rights that California has. If they can draw based on politics, we should be able to draw based on party.
Yeah, because we've been operating on, like, two rule books, two sets of standards for all these years and years and years. And, this wasn't going to last forever. I don't know how long the future was going to last, but it's not the way the founding fathers envisioned us allotting our congressional representation.
No, look, that's exactly right. And I'm gonna bring up another thing that I think is incredibly important here. It also, the federal courts and the liberal press ignore the fact that there are minority Republicans. There are black Republicans across thousands of them. There's some estimates in rural areas that up to 35% of African Americans voted Republican in Alabama. And they are ignored by the mainstream media. They're ignored by the federal courts. They act like they don't exist. And they're treated horribly. And the Republican Party of Alabama wants to be their voice because they deserve to be recognized. They're the greatest. If we're looking for protecting the minority, the greatest minority is a minority group within a larger minority. And that's exactly what black Republicans are. And I think they're being ignored and they have rights too.
Yeah. And, you know, even though the idea that they gerrymander and they gerrymander, we've been okay with gerrymandering for decades, just to give minorities representation, but in Congress. But the example, a really great example, is Tennessee, and they said the hell with that. Now they've drawn the lines in such a way where you used to at one time, John Cooper there in Nashville was a congressman, and he was kind of I don't know, yellow dog, blue dog, whatever they called themselves back in the day. And the Tennessee legislature looked at it and said, oh, no. And the only Democrat district now is Memphis. But they divided that up. I mean, is that something you could see where eventually in Alabama we take it to a different place and we say, you know, no more of this. Terry Sewell and Shamari Figures aren't going to get elected. If you want Democrat representation from Alabama, then elect a Democrat legislature. And I think that's got to be the way it's going to be if we're going to play by this, because we can't have two separate sets of rules.
No, that's exactly right. And let me be very clear. If the Democrats were in the position the Republicans were in Alabama, they would do that. We see that in New York. We see it in California. They do not play. They know what's going on. They know this is the battle for control, for political control. And if they had the same situation the Republicans had in Alabama, we would have seven Democrat districts. And I think Republicans have got to wake up. They've got to start fighting. They've got to explain why this is important, not just for the people of Alabama, but for the country as a whole. This is a numbers game for control of the U.S. House. And we have to play by the same rules the Democrats do. And we have to demand equal rights with what the Democrats are able to do. Saying California can do it, but Alabama can't is unfair. And I think it's an argument that needs to be made to the Supreme Court. And if a standard of fairness is held across the country, either California needs to be stopped or Alabama needs to be allowed to do it.
Joined by Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall here on the program. Chairman, another candidate in the U.S. Senate race, I don't think it was much of a secret, Barry Moore announcing today. You feel okay about the way this is, the direction this is going?
You know, look, anytime you have an open U.S. Senate race, it's going to be a lot of intrigue, a lot of debate, a lot of jockeying for position. But I absolutely, look, you've got several candidates already in the race. Barry Moore, probably getting into today, one of the bigger names. And I think this is just headed in a direction where I think the people of Alabama are going to have a lot of good Republican choices. And I love to see a strong bench. You know, you're not even hearing a peep out of the Democrat side. All the talk, all the candidates are Republican. And I think that's good. A healthy primary process is great, where we can ask the candidates the questions we need to ask. And I encourage your listeners to get involved. This is going to be, you know, potentially the next senator we're going to have for 20 years. And this is a chance to vet them, to talk with them, to ask them the hard questions, and to learn who best stands for the values that you believe in.
Well, that being said, you know, at the top of the ballot there with the gubernatorial election, you're not really going to have the same opportunity. But is Tommy Tuberville sort of the template for Republicans? If you had your way, hey, we want more of that.
I think that's what the people of Alabama believe. You very rarely do you get a candidate with an open seat governor's race clear the field the way Tommy Tuberville has. And it's because, you know, I was just talking about, you know, check out your candidates, know what they believe. I think we all know what Tommy Tuberville believes. We know where he stands because he's that outspoken, bold conservative that I was talking about a little bit ago, right? And this is what the electorate wants. This is what the people are longing for. Someone who doesn't try to be politically correct. Someone who says it like it is, isn't afraid to fight for freedom, isn't afraid to to tell the deep state, hey, take a walk. We're going to put the people first again. And that's kind of Tommy Tuberville's brand. And we see how the people have embraced it. And this is not just in Alabama that we see this. Ron DeSantis in Florida, Trump across the country. These are the people, the Republican primary voters and even general election voters are looking for people willing to be strong, bold, and fearless. And I think that's exactly why Tommy Tuberville has been able to clear the field.
Yeah, I think Republican voters want somebody who will take the fight. It's one thing to pay homage to state priorities, and Katie Britt does a good job of that, and I think that's important. But the balance there is, hey, you also got kind of some dark forces working against the views of a lot of conservatives, and Coach Tuberville was kind of a guy that was the antidote for that.
Yeah, well, look, 100%. And I don't necessarily blame our elected officials completely, but I think it's very easy for them to fall into what I call the D.C. bubble, or in Alabama, the Montgomery bubble, right? They're at the Capitols. They're surrounded by lobbyists. The average person doesn't have a lobbyist. The Constitution doesn't have a lobbyist. But there's all these lobbyists and, special interest groups. And most of the time, they're the ones who get hurt. And I think what separates a statesman from a politician is that are the people who, sure, they may be in that bubble. Sure, they may hear all the same things, but their priority stays with the people. And they're fighting for them. And I think you couldn't find a better representative of that than Tommy Tuberville.
Jeremy, we've got to leave it there. We're a little long, but always appreciate you hopping on. And we'll do this again next week.
Always good to be on the show.
Chairman John Wall, the Alabama Republican Party there. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
I play a little sad and I play a lot of glad.